Warning, Star Trek From the Holodeck contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Lock it alone!
Fire.
Holodeck 3 program is reinstated.
Open sesame!
Commander Klingon vessel, we are energizing transporter beam. Now.
Welcome to Star Trek From the Holodeck, the Discovery Edition. I am Michael Flores, the captain of the ship, and at the helm is Lieutenant David Sybal.
I need a cleanup on my seat, Captain.
Oh, a cleanup. Did you drop your gangly eye? Number one, can you help him with that cleanup, please? Yes, thank you. All right, so we have a lot to discuss today. We're going to be breaking down, obviously, the second part of the season finale titled Such Sweet Sorrow Part 2. I mean, wow.
Jeez.
Wow. The finale was so good and entertaining. The way they wrapped everything up was excellent. And it does look like, Dave, we were right. Last week, we had speculated that there's too much going on. And that it will not just be a simple and easy ending like last season. It was far from it. It was tidy, but it wasn't, all right, we're done. See you guys next year.
See you next year.
It was like cliffhanger. Cliffhanger, but with closure.
Yeah, this was a better cliffhanger than what we got in season one. Season one
wasn't even really a cliffhanger. It was
just like that nostalgia cliffhanger.
Hey, guys. The war's over. Huh?
And then here's the Enterprise. What?
Yeah. That wasn't a cliffhanger. That was, hey, guys, please keep watching us. Here's the Enterprise.
This one actually felt like a legitimate season ender that actually still left it open for season three.
Yeah. We knew how it was going to end. It was only one way this season could end. There was so much that needed to be dealt with, and that last quarter of the season, of this season, started to feel like a platform. And we went into that a bit last week. It started to feel like a platform for a new story arc that the writers look like they might just plan to just rip the Discovery from the timeline.
It makes sense. It makes total sense.
And we were talking about this on and off the air. Like the show is creating something different. We are speeding really fast towards something that cannot just be wrapped up by the end. And we said the story will be wrapped up. The immediate narrative or myth arc will be wrapped up. But they're going to set down the groundwork for something big moving into season three. And sure enough, Discovery looks like it might have taken that original concept that we talked about by Brian Fuller, reworked it and made the adjustments needed to make sure the show doesn't continue to veer too close to established canon in a way that could easily disrupt the 50 some years of Trek canon. This is the only way they could have done it. And in all actuality, the episode of Short Treks, Dave, we should have known, titled Calypso, might have really showed us the Discovery's final resting place.
Yes.
We kept thinking, they'll explain how it got back. Well, no, I think what we actually saw was the end. Calypso was the end. Or maybe we'll find out in season three why the ship was abandoned. Who knows? And Dave, seeing the Klingons at the last minute.
Those Ba'ul fighters, holy crap. The Ba'ul fighters. That was awesome.
I mean, and the part that just gave me nerd chills, Dave, I have not had nerd chills like this in a long time. And I'm talking the type of nerd chills that happens when the Defiant comes in fighting the Borg cube in First Contact and the Enterprise comes in and saves the day and Worf saying it's a good day to die. and he's slamming things around there, even though there's no buttons on the console. He's pushing something, and you hear the Klingon music. That's the only thing that that scene needed. When Laurel came in with the D7s and Ash Tyler's right next to her, you know, talking like a Klingon. I'm like,
that was like my favorite, one of my favorite moments too.
Man, all we needed was that classic Klingon song. Why couldn't you have thrown that in? The classic battle song?
The battle song.
Oh, but my God, dude.
They gave me what I wanted. Remember?
This is fan service, Dave.
This was fan service.
This is what we've been asking for. How are people complaining? We saw the D7s. You know, we saw that classic Klingon camaraderie where they're all, you know, celebrating battle.
Oh, yeah. When Laurel, like, all of a sudden got hurt. And she's just laughing.
Yes, dude. How long have we been waiting? A year and almost 2 years, two seasons. We've been waiting to see those Klingons, the ones that celebrate battle.
Yeah.
You know, fuck, dude. How can anyone complain about this? They gave us some of the new and the old, put it together and gave us, you know, just something so great. And it all came together nicely, even getting to see San Francisco at the end.
Oh my God.
Didn't we just say this 3 weeks ago? We just said, like, the show feels closed. It feels like we don't see what's going on outside. And that was on purpose, Dave, because of the whole idea of control, isolating them from everyone else. So the reason why we felt that way was because the writers were purposely trying to make this season feel a little closed off.
Yes.
Making them feel that the Enterprise and Discovery are on their own. And ultimately, that fuckery that writers do by developing ideas, whether it be the feeling of isolation, like we said, it all comes together to express a story that's not always tangible or overt. Sometimes there's things laid out, whether it be the mood or the tone, I should say. There's things that writers and directors of television and movies do to convey an idea at times that even the viewer doesn't quite understand why they're feeling a certain way until the end. And now it all makes sense.
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely loved what they did. And that's something we said they needed to show us. We needed to see San Francisco. That's Starfleet. Yep,
that is Starfleet.
And I was so happy because I got that's how you do nostalgia, Dave, because that was like, I love it.
That was the headquarters of Starfleet. That's every Star Trek fan knows. When you see the Golden Gate Bridge,
yep.
That is
classic Star Trek vibes.
That
dude.
Is like the home court. That's the headquarters of Starfleet.
Yeah. Did you notice that they did a Star Trek 4 thing too? When they started going through the wormhole as a crew and we started seeing those. It's a visual effects. I forgot the name of it. It's not starlights. It's some type of light, a light ray effect. It's where you start warping their faces and the lights. Okay. And you start seeing the light.
They were doing that.
That's what they did in Star Trek 4 when they went around the sun and they traveled to San Francisco. They did the exact same thing. They had close ups on everybody and they had those light rays just warping across their face. And a part of me says, well, light rays isn't really a big visual effects thing we see in Star Trek all the time. So why choose to do that unless they were deliberately trying to draw parallels to
what's already been established. Yeah, what's been established.
Yeah.
And like that's what I really appreciated too was like this when you compare the two season finales, the first season finale was solely built on misdirection and member berries. Oh, we see the Enterprise. Yay! This season finale, the callbacks that they used actually meant something. There was a reason to it.
Everything had a purpose.
It wasn't to give you the member berries. It was to establish what you're seeing is Star Trek. This is what everyone knows about. The science behind Star Trek. The way just like what you said, they use the same exact visual effect to show time travel.
Yeah, and I feel like at this point, Dave, it doesn't really matter what the trolls say because they're just going to hate on it just because they want to hate on something. Because Discovery this season, in my opinion, as a lifelong Star Trek fan, I'm 39 years old. I've watched Star Trek since as far back as I can remember. I think I was 3 or 4 years old. I remember living in my house that we grew up in, and my mom would watch the reruns. I'm a lifelong Star Trek fan. I don't think 3 months has ever gone by in my life where I have not watched an episode of Star Trek, even the reruns during the dark days, during the life support years where we had nothing. I still watch reruns. And if this series has satisfied me, season one, I had my issues. I don't think it's horrible, like people said, but it had its issues.
Yes.
Kurtzman did the job he said he was going to do. And he did it. He did it. He fixed all the issues. He brought canon together. And then he removed the eyesore that is Discovery from the timeline.
From the timeline. So that basically, you can't question where it is. Well, it got shoved right into the future.
Yeah.
And also the thing I loved about it was that whole scene with, I'm guessing it's like the one of the higher ups of Section 31 or Starfleet Command.
I just thought it was Starfleet Command.
And that whole scene with all the characters basically saying, okay, well, what are we going to do? And Spock's the one that says, no one can speak of this ever.
Yeah.
And it's basically kind of like it goes up there with one of those Starfleet orders, kind of like, do not travel to Talos IV on penalty of death.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like this is the best thing they could have possibly done for the show. They have a clean slate now. They no longer have to worry about canon or retreading. They can tell their own story and no longer have to cling to the past. The way the season concluded was the show finally finding itself.
And now Discovery can actually explore new avenues for Star Trek.
Yes.
You can introduce new aliens. They're in the freaking future. I mean, we saw it in Calypso that basically they were some of the things in Calypso they were talking about, no one ever knew in Star Trek. They were talking about planets we've never even heard of.
Yeah.
And alien races we never heard of. A war that we never even heard of.
Yeah.
Now, by going into the future, you can actually – that was the whole point of Calypso, was to show we can do stuff like this now by going into the future. And now this crew just has to deal with those problems.
Yeah. And now that season two is wrapped and we know what they're doing moving forward, obviously we don't know what the story is going to be, but no, we have an idea of what they're doing. I mean, you can now kind of reframe what has happened over the last 2 years. When you think about it, you know, going back to the fact that I feel like the show has found itself, season one can be kind of defined or wrapped up as a moment. The Klingon War and the catalyst that would bring this team together, the crew, the betrayal of Lorca would solidify their trust in each other. Then season two was laying the groundwork to essentially rebrand the show. That's what this entire season was. It was to rebrand the show. And now in season three, we will have a show that completely understands itself and what it needs to be.
Yes.
And now that we got all of that out of the way, Dave, I have zero doubt in my mind that season three will be fucking amazing.
Oh, it will be. I think it will. And I like going one of the most brilliant moves they did at the end of the season finale. I mean, you mentioned it partially, I believe, in our pre-show, was the fact that they gave it from the perspective of the Enterprise crew, not the Discovery crew, because in a way it was kind of to solidify that basically we were watching the story of the Discovery crew, and the Discovery crew's story was being told to us and to the Enterprise crew. And now basically we all know what the story is, and at this point, no one knows where they are.
Well, I like how they shared the show and they swapped perspectives. And that's something that Kurtzman said at the beginning of the season, that he had planned to do this the whole time with how he started his show, started the season and ended it. He wanted to bookend it. For example, the show started with a sister talking to her brother, and then it ended with a brother talking to his sister. And I felt like that was just a great way to bring closure, because you're right about the perspective as well. I like that they've managed to share the perspective of the show, whereas most of the season has been from, and it should be, from the perspective of Discovery. But I really appreciated the respect they gave the Enterprise, knowing its place in the hearts and minds of Star Trek fans and knowing its importance within Star Trek canon. The respect they gave the Enterprise, Captain Pike, Number One, and Spock, because they respected their legacy enough to give them essentially their own ending.
Yes.
Having the season finally end from their perspective as they head back into the stars. It just, it feels like everything's right. Like,
yeah.
The waters are calm and now things are where they should be. Let's proceed.
Let us proceed.
I loved it. And the denouement, the last, like the wrap up of a story, the closing moments of the finale was just handled beautifully. I love the debrief, like you mentioned, of the Enterprise crew and the idea that they have been sworn to secrecy. They must lie in order to protect the future. I think that's a strong way to bring closure to the to various big questions that this show did bring. A lot of the complaints that fans had, the troll fans, I should say, who weren't patient enough to see what they were doing or what they would do. They gave us that bit of closure. You know, why doesn't Spock ever mention his sister? And now we know.
Now we know.
Why doesn't history retell the adventures of the USS Discovery? Well, now we know. They were sworn to secrecy. I felt like it was tidy. It was clever. And it felt, for me, seamless. And it makes a lot of sense. And, Dave, I feel like my most favorite moment of this episode, and there was a lot.
Oh, there was a lot.
But I think my absolute favorite was that moment or that scene between Spock and Burnham when they said their goodbyes. That moment meant so much to me. Again, growing up watching the relationship of Spock and Kirk and knowing the epic friendship that they have. A shameless love.
Shameless,
like, yeah. Between two men that has always, that's platonic. Despite, you know, some slash fiction out there. And that's something that we don't have a lot. And I talk a lot about this on my Hap and Leonard discussion, where we don't have a lot of positive masculine relationships that are non-sexual.
Yeah, there's no, if you look at media, everything, there isn't very many platonic relationships between characters.
And not talking about brothers. That's kind of a given. Or people who are related. But true friends who find each other and rely on each other. And I feel like that relationship was such a positive thing to have in my life growing up, seeing that. And yes, I'm not one of those people that say, oh, I need TV to help me understand life. I didn't watch The Facts of Life and learn about the facts of life. But still, when you're watching TV, you know, and you're a child, you are a sponge. You soak things up. And I remember a lot of times my friendships were also based on, it just gave me a more healthier perspective on male relationships.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I'm glad you brought that up because, yeah, that is also my favorite point in this episode because the whole thing about Burnham and Spock is a brother-sister relationship. But everyone also understands that, and all fans everywhere basically are saying, no, Spock, it's always been Spock, Kirk, and McCoy. It's always been that. There's like that brotherhood. It's something different. This that is supposed to be Spock's peak of right. Becoming a character.
Yeah.
That's one of his most defining moments. The thing about Burnham and Spock was it helped Spock get to that point.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying. Like, I loved, and I just love these writers because they respected us as fans and they respected the stories that came before, and they allowed that groundwork to be laid and not nullifying the importance of Kirk by replacing him with Burnham, which is what a lot of people were scared that they would do.
Yeah.
That they're going to create this bond that overshadows Kirk's relationship with him. And it's very different. But if anything, it actually helped lay the groundwork and help someone like Spock who struggled to understand himself as a person. You see that relationship and those final words there that they shared with each other were actually the moments that would lay the groundwork that would allow him to be open to having a true friendship with someone who's different than him.
Who's his polar opposite.
Yeah,
and that was the biggest
thing. They honored one of the most epic friendships in science fiction history.
And the beautiful thing that the writers did, they were able to honor it by not taking away the gravity of the relationship between Burnham and Spock, because that moment
justified it.
It justified it because it put it full circle, saying that this is his older sister. And I love the fact that basically Burnham looked at Spock and called him her little brother, because that is basically kind of like, it felt like an honest to God sibling relationship. You know, everyone talks about, well, Spock had a brother in the movies. Yeah, we've seen that, but it didn't feel as organic as this, where it's kind of like we believe that he had siblings now.
Yeah.
And the difference between Burnham, the relationship he has with Burnham, and the relationship he gets with Kirk is so different, because you're dealing with a brother-sister or a sibling relationship, a family relationship, compared to a bond that basically transcends family bonds in like a brotherhood.
Yeah.
Having a relationship with someone who is nothing like you, who has no ties to you whatsoever. Yeah. There's something really grand about that type of relationship compared to a family relationship.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Another thing is, man, the complete beauty of this show, and I'm not talking about the writing and what they managed to create between the crew this year and the scene between Burnham and Spock, but the overall production. I mean, the space battle was the most beautiful.
Holy Moses,
that was awesome. It was one of the most beautiful displays of chaotic colors and mesmerizing visual effects. I mean, the cinematography is fucking mind-blowing at times. Just wow. That is art, Dave.
Dude,
I want to blow up the I wish I can blow scenes up from that fight sequence, from that battle sequence, and put it in the studio. That's how amazing those scenes looked. And this is why this show, for all those people that say, why is it on CBS All Access? This is why it's on CBS All Access, a subscription platform. This is an ambitious Trek series, and these are things that regular network budgets just can't do.
Exactly.
This is Trek on steroids. This is Trek on HBO. And as CBS All Access grows, Dave, the budget will too. And that means we're just going to get more and more fantastic moments like that. Just like, great ways to wrap up your seasons.
The one shot of all the drones, when all of a sudden they start launching the drones from Discovery and Enterprise, I thought was so epic. But then they top it visually with Section 31 with Control. Suddenly the ships start popping off panels and everything. And it gave me the chills, like seeing TNG when the saucer section takes apart and the Enterprise splits into two.
I got chills when Data split Tasha Yar into two. Wait. Did we not see that?
No, we didn't see that. That was all in our imagination.
Oh, okay. I'm sure that android peen did that. Like, it just split Tasha in two.
He did say that he has so many ways of actually human pleasure. And then that made her very happy.
You go, wow, let's do this then. I wish someone could program me for that. Maybe then I can hold on to a girlfriend. So stupid. All right. So, Dave, I'm really excited to see what they do with season three. And now I know that there have been, you know, some vocal members that we have said continuously through this episode's discussion, you know, vocal members of the Trek fandom that said that the ending was confusing. And I'm like, they're like, where did they go? I'm like, are you not watching the show?
Are you not watching the show?
They went to the future. I feel like that part is fairly simple. And during a recent Star Trek Ready Room, the Discovery's post-show discussion that they do the next day, it usually takes place with a member of the cast or crew, and Sonequa Martin-Green was the guest on the last post-show. And she had a few words to say about the show boldly going where no one has gone before, and I'm just going to read exactly what she says, okay? Her interview gives us an idea of what we can expect for season three. Okay. In this interview, she says, it feels like the most genius decision for Star Trek Discovery. She says, I'm so proud of our producers and writers for doing what they did. Them and the other writers deciding to take us to the future. Now we get to tell our own stories because we are boldly going where no other Star Trek show has gone before. Quite literally, too. But at the same time, we still are who we are. We are still connected to the canon in a way that we are. We cannot help where we started. We cannot help that I am in the family of Sarek and Amanda and Spock. We will always have that. But now we can take who we are to this future we have never seen before and tell our story and see what the future holds and what has happened with everyone. I just cannot believe what an awesome choice it was. Now, this is what I have been saying since day one. This show can now be what all of us have been wanting for decades.
Yeah.
We no longer are going to be treading on the past. This show can now blaze its own path while using a very familiar foundation. And I like this part because now this show is in a very unique position to be very different than any other Trek series because it benefits from being a part of the original series timeline, you know, being very close to that era, having deep connections, not just connections in passing, like, oh, yeah, you know, oh, I just pulled up some data charts here and it says that Kirk was the best captain of all time, kind of like they did last year with those Easter eggs.
Yeah, you know, with those
top captains.
The top captains.
Yeah, Pike and
Archer
and April, stuff like that. Now they're not just they're not just trying to give us Easter eggs. Now this show can benefit from the past because they were a part of the past, and at the same time, they're the future.
Yes,
I mean, how awesome is that connection? It's essentially a bridge. It's a bridge between times that we all love and the future.
It's a great setup for what arguably is going to be the flagship for Star Trek from here on out.
I think at this point, Dave, even with Picard series starting up, I feel like because they're in the future, they're blazing trails that the Picard series will not be able to do.
Yeah, because we all know that the Picard series, whether I'm really excited for the Picard series,
oh, so but
for me, when I look at the Picard series, this feels like they're just going to finally give us that one thing we've always wanted of the final chapter of Captain Picard. That's it. It's nothing new. This is something that basically we all know Picard is a character. And for those that haven't grown up with him, they'll have to go back and watch all of TNG. Discovery blazes a new trail for what we've been saying, a new generation of Star Trek fans, which is needed for the fan base. And when I think about it, most of the trolls are, yes, they are the old school aging trolls who basically don't want to forget about the past. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But understand that basically Discovery is meant to bring in the new fan base because our franchise is dying.
And just because you don't like it doesn't mean it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people need to understand. Just because it's not your thing, if you want to watch reruns of TNG over and over and over and you miss, you know, the heyday, as you call it, then do that. Like, these people sound like those football jocks that can't get over themselves. They're like in their 30s
exactly,
and they still tell the story of their high school years when they threw that touchdown, that winning touchdown pass. Get over it. Those days, it's over.
It's over.
And again, I'm not saying I don't love those shows. I watch them all the time still. But we need to move forward. Otherwise, we will have no franchise.
Yeah.
We need to find what works with modern audiences. And this show has managed to do that. In my opinion, it's the perfect fill. It's the perfect connection. It has the vibes and feels of what Trek is and should be. And also, it's something very different. That's what each new Star Trek series should be. That's what Deep Space Nine was. That's what Voyager was. Enterprise, I don't know what they were doing. I enjoyed it, but I still can't figure out what they were trying to do.
We can't really know what was going in the mind of Archer.
Yeah. Now, showrunner Alex Kurtzman also had some pretty fun words to share, Dave. During a recent interview, the question was, will there be any more crossover with characters from other Trek series? Okay. Now, obviously, there really can't be.
There really can't be.
But this is what he says. There will be canonical references to everything that has happened in the various shows. We're not erasing that. But we're so far past that point that all of that is a very distant memory. And we're very excited to see how you put the elements of Star Trek in an entirely new universe.
Except for Q.
That's true.
Now, nothing too far for him.
The next question, Dave, will make us happy. And these are actually one of the only few questions I actually had at the end. The question is, you spent season two building up Section 31 in the Discovery universe, and the finale ends with Ash Tyler being made commander of the crumbling organization. What do fans have to look forward to with that story? Are you ready for this, Dave? There's some big info he just dumped on us. And if you guys don't like spoilers of any kind, you might not want to listen. Tune out for about 15 seconds. It's not like story ideas that are going to be, I don't think anything's going to be destroyed in terms of story, but he pretty much explained to us what Section 31 series is going to be about.
Yes.
He says, if you're a fan of Deep Space Nine, he says, you've probably spent the past 2 years saying, what the hell are they doing with Section 31? That's nothing like the Section 31 we know. And he says, that's exactly right. In Deep Space Nine, they did not have badges or ships. They're an underground organization. What you see on Discovery and our upcoming show with Michelle Yeoh is how Section 31 became that organization and why it was so underground by the time Deep Space Nine comes around. Problems fixed.
Problems fixed.
Why are people fucking patient?
When I read this, I was like, you know what? Mike's going to be really happy about this because it connects to Deep Space Nine.
Yes. Now, the big question I had about Georgiou, okay, is...
That is the one that I'm like going, okay, how are they going to fix this?
Now, really fast, Dave, can I just say how hot she was this week when she was like getting off on killing Leland? I'm like, oh, please, Georgiou.
That was kind of creepy, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't creepy. It was hot as hell.
Especially when she was like looking at him going, now it's time for you to scream.
And she was giggling.
And she was giggling.
I was like, she was almost like the girl from Go-Go from Kill Bill.
Yeah. I was like going... This is her Terran side really coming out.
I love her, dude. I cannot wait for that show. I cannot wait to see what she does. She is such a good actor, Michelle Yeoh. So, all right. So getting back to the question I had. She's going to have to find her way back to her time, right?
She has to.
Obviously, based on Kurtzman's words here, she has been cast as the lead in the Section 31 series that will lead into what we know of Section 31 in Deep Space Nine. So that's a little bit there. She's obviously going to have to find her way back to her timeline. Right?
She has to. I mean, like that was the one thing in the finale when I saw it and I saw where they left it off. The first question that popped in my head, wait a minute, Georgiou's with them. And at the time, I was watching the finale with my girlfriend, and she was like looking at me going, why do you look confused after this? I thought you said you were enjoying it. I'm like going, I am, but if you know what's supposed to be coming, how does Georgiou get back from the future? She's on the ship with them.
Yep. It's going to be interesting, Dave.
It's going to be interesting.
I mean, I don't have any idea what they're going to do. Like with the ending of last year, I'm like, okay, the Enterprise, they're going to have some fun dabbling around. We'll see, you know, like what they do. And the season ended up being great. But with season three, I'm just like, what are they going to do? Holy shit, this is awesome. Now, just to give listeners a general idea of Trek events, because I know with this whole flash forward into the future, there's going to be some people who may not be as invested in the 52 years or more of Trek canon like we are. So let's just fill in the blanks for people, Dave, okay? So we know that the Discovery has been blasted 950 years into the future, right? Okay, so the farthest we have gone when it comes to an actual TV show and the events that take place, the bulk of the series that takes place in said timeline, is Star Trek Next Generation. That's the farthest we have gone. We can say we can throw Deep Space Nine. That's all the I call that the TNG era.
Yes.
Let's even throw Voyager in that. That's the TNG era. That's the farthest we have gone with an actual weekly show.
Yes.
But there have been other things that have taken place in those TV shows that has kind of pulled the curtain back a bit when it comes to what happens in the future. Okay. But for the most part, there's only been about three or four events. And it doesn't create a clutter. So there really is a clean slate because they are officially now at the end of the timeline. For example, in 2540, which is about 200 years after TNG, the Starship Enterprise J is commissioned and takes part in the Battle of Procyon 5 against the Sphere Builders, as shown in Enterprise.
Yes.
In the 27th century, the Temporal Cold War with agents from the 31st century first established in the pilot episode of Star Trek Enterprise and reoccurring until the series' fourth season premiere, those events also took place in the future.
And that was the Temporal War
story. The Temporal War, yes. And then in the 29th century, we had the EN-type time ship. It's active service during this century and future's end, as is the Wells class time ship from Relativity. Now we have the 31st century, where Star Trek Voyager episode Living Witness takes place sometime during this century. Episodes with time traveler Daniels from Enterprise also takes place in the 31st century.
31st century, yes.
In the 32nd century, 3186, this is the year Gabrielle Burnham arrived in after using the Red Angel suit to escape a Klingon attack. Okay, now we're in the 33rd century. Star Trek Short Trek's episode Calypso takes place sometime during this century. By Star Trek's fictional chronology, this is the last episode of all the seven series. Okay. And last on that timeline, Dave, is the season 3 Star Trek Discovery will take place during this event. So there is nothing ahead of it. So Kurtzman literally went past everything we've known and heard of.
Yes.
And we're in complete new territory. And I'm hoping Discovery talks about these things. Dave, this is the show that can connect every major event we have seen. The Temporal War, the Living Witness episode from Star Trek Voyager, and the events that made up that episode.
Yes.
This is the bridge show. This is the show, Dave, we have been wanting. The show that shows the future of the Star Federation and Starfleet.
Because, like, everyone constantly says, in future times, the Federation must have crumbled.
Especially at the end of Nemesis.
At the end of Nemesis, because remember, at the end of Nemesis, they were making allusions that all the factions were now crumbling before them.
Yeah.
And then you had what happened to Romulus and the planet.
We already know what happens in Romulus stays in Romulus, yeah. Dave. Don't talk about it, okay?
But, like, the whole point about, like, going into the 33rd century was like, okay, what factions are there that are still around?
Every time I hear the 33rd century, I think of like Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers in the 33rd century. It's so pulpy, like Flash Gordon-y. It's just.
I know. That's why I'm like going, okay, they're going into that. I just hope that it's not cheesy.
No, it's not going to be cheesy. Come on. I'm excited, Dave.
I'm really excited to see where they go. Because, like, you're right. This is a chance for them to answer one of the most, I would say, sensitive subjects for Star Trek
fans.
What
happened to Q, Dave?
Well, no. When it comes to time travel.
Oh, okay.
When it comes to time travel, all Star Trek fans kind of get like a nervous twitch because you're like, okay, you're dealing with something that could really ruin a story and really ruin a franchise. And every time that Star Trek has treaded on it, they've been successful. Those storylines you mentioned were really great.
Oh, shit, Dave.
They were good.
They actually could address the Kelvin timeline finally. And maybe not the Kelvin timeline, because there's really no way of telling. There's no way of really knowing that the timeline split.
Yes.
If you're in the, there's no way to do that. If you're in the prime timeline, there's no way to understand unless they have a way to travel to that alternate timeline.
Yes.
But they will know. What's the first thing you're going to do if you traveled into the future? You're going to Google your family. You're going to be like, what happened to my family? Burnham is going to find out what happened to Spock.
What happened to Spock?
Spock vanished, disappeared.
Into a black hole.
Yes. And Dave, that's all I need to hear to finally have. I don't need an elaborate connection. That's all I need to hear in this show to acknowledge the events that took place in the Kelvin timeline.
Yes.
Would you be happy with that as well?
I think I would be really happy, because that's one of the things that Kurtzman and everyone tied to Star Trek have been stating since the very beginning. We're going to explain the Kelvin problem.
Yeah.
We're going to explain the whole thing.
And then
don't
we have
worry.
And then we have the Picard situation that can also explore that.
Yeah, the Picard situation can explore that.
Dude, I am so excited for Star Trek, man. Like, I have never been since. No, I'll take that back. I haven't been this excited for Star Trek since the fucking 90s.
Yes. I have to agree. I haven't been this excited for Star Trek in a very long time.
Yeah. I have one thing to say. Forget a Pike series. Forget a Pike series.
You think?
Yes. Give us a Pike movie. Give us a Enterprise. Enterprise is the movie. And yes, I feel like Star Trek should probably move away from that if they hope to stay alive and be acknowledged by the mainstream. They probably need to let people know finally that Star Trek is more than just the Enterprise. But that would be awesome. And I know there's issues between CBS and Viacom and Paramount and everything that's going on with those negotiations. And that's why the movies and the TV shows are currently separate. But there's that merger happening.
Yeah.
And you can give us a movie, because Anson Mount is an A-lister. That guy can deliver the goods. Imagine, Dave. Okay, let's forget theatrical for a second. Even if CBS All Access wanted to stick to their commitment of, hey, Star Trek all the time, you guys are never going to have to worry about any lulls. There's always going to be a Star Trek. Why not make a straight to CBS All Access Star Trek film? Give us two or three of them, starring the crew of
the Enterprise.
The Enterprise with Pike as captain.
I think it'd be really cool.
That'd be amazing. And that would be such a way to satisfy those fans that want more Pike. Because,
well,
believe me, the way it ended, I want more Pike too.
Oh yeah, because like, it was amazing that after the season finale, one of the most positive things that I was seeing was like this pretty much consensus that we all love Anson Mount's portrayal of Pike.
He's great.
To the point that basically now everyone's wondering, why the heck did Pike give up command of the Enterprise? We know his accident. And if you look back at the original series, the menagerie, the accident happens when Pike is not captain of the Enterprise.
Maybe he becomes troubled, Dave. Maybe he becomes troubled because
he
knows his destiny. And we all know what happens. Like that whole thing, like, hey, do you really want to know your future?
Oh,
and most of us can admit, I think most of us can admit the fact that if we knew our fate or destiny and we knew when we would die and how we would die, it'd be really hard to go on living. We'd be like, man, I know exactly when I'm going to die and I know how I'm going to die.
But you know what was even cooler, Mike? After I watched the finale, I immediately went to the OST and I watched the season finale of season one, which is the Menagerie,
the OST,
or the original series.
Oh, I was like, OST, the original soundtrack?
But I watched the original, TOS.
I said it backwards
for some strange reason. The original season finale for season one, which is the Menagerie, mm-hmm. the one that connects Pike. And you look at that episode, you watch it with the knowledge you have.
Yep.
Holy crap, it really adds to that episode. Like when Pike is in the chair and he's constantly repeating, no, no. And he's telling like Spock, no. And Spock is telling him, I can do this. You have to forgive me. And then like, you see that basically all that stuff that we saw in Discovery added so much substance to this.
Yeah.
because Pike knew what Spock was going to do, but he also knew that it was so against Federation. Of course, Pike is going to be like, no, don't do this. What? This is my destiny. I was told this is my destiny to be in this chair.
So don't you think it would be cool to see a series of movies or maybe even a limited series where we have a show that deals with, yes, we got to maintain those classic Trek vibes, but have a show, a limited series or a couple of movies where we explore the psyche of Pike struggling with his future and how it now possibly might even change the way he commands. It might change who he is, the way he does things. I feel like the way we left things, there's a lot of ingredients.
There's a lot of ingredients for a really, really deep story arc.
Yeah. All right, Dave, let's move into final thoughts, Dave. Let's start with you. Give me your final thoughts. Everything you want to say now, just dump it on me.
Final thoughts. Honestly, this is a fantastic season finale. So much better than season one's finale.
Even a comparison.
There's
right?
no comparison.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, when this series comes out on Blu-ray, I will pick it up, bar none, because like the series has been so well written and the story has been so engaging that now I feel that Discovery has earned its wings.
It's red wings,
if it were. It's earned.
Don't Google red wings, please, people, if you don't know what that means.
It's earned its place in Star Trek mythos as a crew. A well-established crew that everyone can fall in love with.
Agreed.
And I'm really psyched to see where they go. Yes, I'm a little hesitant because you're going far into the future. And like, I'm like going, okay, if we're going to go far into the future, will it still maintain Star Trek? That's the thing. I'm like going, it's got to still have that Star Trek vibe. Yeah. And from Alex Kurtzman and Michelle Paradise's work so far, I have no doubt they'll do it.
I agree.
Because now I feel that Kurtzman has actually become one of the most important figures in Star Trek now.
Not even Star Trek. I think in the television business. Because he's handling one of the most iconic franchises of all time.
And he's making it look easy.
He's a big swinging dick now. He's not just handling one show. He is responsible for the rejuvenation of a franchise. He's a big deal.
He's
doing a good job so far.
So overall, I think that the season finale was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I got teary-eyed when Spock shows up and he's all in his blue uniform. Ethan Peck, man, I do wish that I would see, at this point, I want to see more of Ethan Peck as Spock.
I would like to see a scene with him and Number One during Panfar. I think that's...
Oh, wait. Spock does have to go through that still.
Yeah. And maybe Pike can like, cockle them. I'm just going to hang out in the captain's seat and watch. That's my own fan fiction. So stupid. Dave, I agree with everything you said. There was a lot of hesitation going into the season, as our listeners know, because I felt like the season finale last year was very lackluster. It was almost like them giving up. You had this momentum being built the entire year, and then it just fell flat with that lackluster ending. It was like, oh, you know, we only have one episode left. Shit, what do we do? I don't know.
That's it was it like a like. Quick orgasm.
It really was. It was a quickie with no payoff. It was a quickie, and you didn't even get to, you know, finish. So I did have a lot of hesitations going in. I didn't want to be heartbroken. I didn't want to be hurt again. But this season proved me wrong, and they did a fantastic job with fixing the issues that a lot of people had when it came to canon. I thought they made a great decision removing Discovery from the immediate, you know, from the original series timeline and bringing it and taking them into the future. We now have a show that can do whatever they want. It was a good call. I like the story aspects as well this week. We didn't get a lot of new reveals just because this was more of a wrap-up, but the explanation of the red signals and how it all worked and how it guided them and how we actually got to see how the sixth and seventh signal were sent in real time. I thought that was clever, that the seventh signal was actually just a message to Spock letting him know that they made it.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool. I mean, it reminded me of that ending, the ending of Star Trek Discovery, where Kirk says, yeah, I believe Sulu or Chekhov says, where to, Captain? And he says, second star to the right and straight on to morning. It's just the idea. It just, it felt so like Trek that she sent a signal for Spock to see and know she's okay. It's heart touching. It's Star Trek at its core. It was a great finale. That's all I can really say. I want to thank everybody for continuing to stick with us through the discussions this season. We had a great time. I know you had a great time, David, discussing the episodes. Don't worry, we will not be gone for an entire year like we were last year. We have changed and reformatted the structure of this show. We're no longer just a show talking about Star Trek Discovery. We used to just do our regular Star Trek discussions for Patreon subscribers only, but we are changing that. We will continue to do Patreon exclusive shows. So if you want more bonus Star Trek content, then you can find that on our Patreon page, patreon.com/rainmandigital. But we will also continue to do one or two shows every single month about Star Trek. It can be an episode breakdown, maybe one of our favorite episodes. It can be maybe an episode directed by one of our favorite Trek directors. It could be a theme discussion. It could be a philosophical discussion. We have a lot planned. A book review. I know we have a lot of those lined up. Comic book reviews. So we will definitely keep everyone entertained during the hiatus. And of course, we'll be back for Picard. Please.
Like we're going to miss that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, David.
Live long and prosper.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. Share it with me.
End simulation.